Okay. So when we began to speak last week about Bohr, again, each one of these topics, of course, is very massive. We're a little bit trying to learn the Masechta through the first five Dapim, which I think is actually a good idea. But what that means is that, of course, we're leaving a lot out, but the topics are very, very large. So we'll try to make a little bit of a foray into Bohr, because we spent some time on Keren, we spent some time on Shane and Regel, so we're past Shore for the moment. We'll get back to it, I'm sure. And now we're going to discuss Bohr, and then probably after that, Adam and Aish. Okay. So, again, the context, as we all recall, is Rav Papa, right? From the beginning of the Mishnah, the Gemara was wondering about Toldosayim Kiyotze Behem and Lav Kiyotze Behem. That provided an opportunity to analyze each and every one of the Avos and Zikin, right, in the effort to determine whether or not the Toldos are Kiyotze or Lav Kiyotze. Okay. So that's where we went a little bit. That's how we had the opportunity to to engage a little bit with Karen, Shane, and Regal. That's what we did last week. We finished with Shane and Regal last week, and we began reading about Bohr. So we're going to go back to that Chak and Bataria, and we're going to expand a little bit. The main, of course, Bohr pops up here, and it's, here on the Mishnah Dab base, on the Gemara here on Gimel and Gimel on the base, and again parts on Hamid base, and Bavam Dalet, and then Yudamid base. But the main discussions of Bohr, we'll analyze some of them, are really later on in the fifth perek, starting from pretty much the sugyas of on Daf Nun. Here, one second. Yeah, starting from really Mem Tesumid Beis, the Mishnah on Mem Tesumid Beis, Hachofer Bor B'Rishus HaYachar U'Paschal U'Rishus HaRabin, is the beginning of the discussion of Bohr. That starts on Mem Tes Omid Beis. And it goes on, pretty much in one way or another, mostly till Nun Dalet Omid Beis, but in a bigger way till Nun Hei Omid Aleph. So it's really like a six Adapim kind of stretch is the most intense Bohr. But we'll be jumping in and out just a little bit into those Gemaras. Okay. So what is how is Bohr represented here in the context of the discussion of Papa in a very interesting way? The Gemara says, "Ela told the regel karegel fine." The Chi Kamar Papa told the Bohr. So that's towards the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay. Says the Gemara, "Told the Bohr my niu." What is the told of? Before we analyze whether Bohr's toldos kiyotze behem or lav kiyotze behem, the first step is to identify what the told of the Bohr is, right? Very reasonable. Says the Gemara, ilema av yud, the tolda tes, right? Maybe a Bohr that is 10 tzvachim is the av, and a Bohr that is 9 tzvachim is the tolda. Okay, it says the Gemara, lo tes ksivi, lo yud ksivi. That doesn't really make very much sense, because what's the yichus of the numbers 9 and 10? Right? It doesn't say anywhere in the Pasuk the number 9 or the number 10. So what makes the one an av and the other a tolda? Right? When it comes to Karen, Karen, is considered to be the av, because the Torah speaks about ki yigach. Right, and Shane and Regel, again, the Gemara speaks about Vishilach and Ubir, so we think those are cases of Regel and Shane. But if the Torah doesn't say anything about 9 Tfachim or 10 Tfachim, what makes one the Av and the other the Torah? Says the Gemara, Holo Kasha, it's true the numbers are not articulated in the Gemara, but it does say, Bahames Yelo, Amrachmana, Yikimul Rabbanon. Right, the Torah says Vames Yelo, implying that there is something called a killer boar, right? And Kim Lula Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, did a little bit of research, and they came to the conclusion that Yud Avdan Misa, Tess, right, I'm sorry, Kibler Rabbanan, Yud Avdin Bisa, Tess the Zikin Avdi, Bisa lo Avdi. Right, that a Bor Yud has the capacity to kill, and a Bor Tess doesn't have that ability, but it does have the ability to be Mazik. So therefore, even though it doesn't say Tess and Yud in the Psukim, since it says Vamez Yelo, the implication is that a killer boar has a certain special yichus. We translate that into a boar shel yud, and therefore anything less than yud, right? Tes doesn't mean tes. Tes means less than yud, right? Is a boar shel nezek. So one is the av, the other is the tov. Says the Gemara, sof sof ze av lemitza, ze av lenezikin. Why is that an av and a tov? All we know is that the facts are that the size of the pit, right, is relevant to the impact of the nezek, whether it's misa or nezek, and we'll discuss that more fully in just a minute. But why does that dictate that anything less than a killer pit, meaning anything less than a bar shel yud, is a told of, right? Says the Gemara, in fact, maybe it's not a told at all. Ze av lemisa, ze av lenezakin. That's a very remarkable line. Maybe this is an av for nezek, and this is an av for misa. So there are two avos, not an av and a tolda. In which case, we still don't know what the tolda of bor is. So then the Gemara says, Ela avados hakinu maso, shenicham b'shus harabim b'yiziku. What the tolda of bor is not a pit, but any kind of obstacle or impediment that is placed in b'shus harabim, right, which subsequently causes or is responsible for damage. The Gemara says, "Hey Chadami, idaf kerinu ben Rab ben Shmuel hayne bor." True, if the avonos sakino masao is rendered hefker, right? So then it's in the pattern. Everybody will agree that that's a bor, that's a tolda bor. Typically, a bor is a bor b'shus harabim, which is means it belongs to everybody and anybody, which is hefker. The e de loav kerinu, but if there was no hefker, in other words, you have avonos hakino masao, my knapsack, my hat, whatever it is, right, that I leave, my load that I leave in Rishus Harabim. I own that just because I leave it in Rishus Harabim for a time doesn't constitute hefker. So not everybody agrees that should be a bor. There is a debate between Rav and Shmuel. Ilish Shmuel, the Amar Kula Mi Baru Laman, no, I had a bor. Shmuel doesn't think that lack of bailus, right, is a prerequisite for the din of bor. Therefore, for him, if you are responsible for some obstacle or impediment or michshal in Rishus Harabim, whether you own it or you don't own it, right, you are involved in bor. Maybe it's even more obvious, as we'll soon see, when you own the bor than even when you don't own the bor. But Ilu Rav, Rav's a different opinion. Dama kula misharo lamadru. Actually, Rav's of the opinion that even if anything that you own is under the rubric of shor, even if it damages while being stationary, you know, it's while being a michshal or a takala in Rishus Harabim, as long as you retain ownership, it's more like shor than it is bor. That seems to be the view of Rav. So hainu shor, maishna bor, shekein tkilas asim. But either way, the point is, so what is a tolda then? The tolda is either, according to Rav, avano sakino maso shehifkir, Rishus Harabim shehifkir, or according to Shmuel, any avano sakino umaso shenicho Rishus Harabim, and there is a subsequent nezek because of that. So the Gemara says, okay, fine, either way, maishna bar shekein tchilas asiyasa le nezek, umamoncho shmirasa alecha, haninami tchilas asiyasa le nezek, Umamoncha Ushmirasan Alacha. Ella told the bar is Kibar. The Chikamar Rapapa told the Mabe. Right, then the Gemara discusses what is Mabe and discusses Adam, and we'll get back to that hopefully next week. That doesn't mean we're finished.
Isn't that part of Shabbat Baal HaBoy Shalim? Doesn't that indicate that it has to be bailus? So if you mafkir.
So we'll discuss that. So obviously it means the person who is responsible for the bor. The person who's legally liable for the bor. Balabor doesn't mean the dinei mamon is owner of the boar. It means the responsible party of the boar, the creator of the boar. No. According to Rabbi, can't own it. According to Shmuel, he doesn't have to own it. But we'll see in a moment. We'll see that in just a minute. Okay. So that's the Shakamatari of the Gemara. The end part, okay. You'll see the Mamoncha just in a minute. We'll talk about that. But the basically, that's the Gemara's teeny little foray into Bor, you know, right over here. But it has enough, you know, for us, you know, to be intrigued, right? Because when we think back, first of all, this idea that there are two Bors, you know, a Bor of Misa and a Bor of Nezek, that's a very intriguing thing. The Gemara thought that that might be an Avodah Toldah, and the Gemara concluded that that's not an Avodah Toldah, that's really two Avos. So this idea that the thought that it might be an Avodah Toldah and the conclusion that it's two Avos, both of these are very intriguing. Right? The thought that it might be an Avodah Toldah on the surface seems to defy, with one exception, I think I mentioned this last time, other paradigms that we're familiar with. Why? Other Toldos that we know of the Nezikin, right, are not distinguished, you know, by being bigger or smaller, by wreaking, you know, more havoc or less havoc, right? In other words, Shane, you know, is you know, Yesh Hanala Hezeko, you know, when you eat something, but typically Mechalia Karna, like we discussed last week or 2 weeks ago, right? And a Toldo of Shane is a Nischachacha, you know, Bakoso, or Tinfa Peros, right? So that has nothing to do with, you know, with size. It has nothing to do with impact. The whole tsura of the nezek, of the hezek, is different, right? Eda Dome, eating something and, you know, scratching your back and ruining, you know, the structure, right? Or wallowing, is that the right way to say it? On the on Peros. Right, and the same is true with the other cases. I mean, Karen, right, as opposed to, you know, Negicha, as opposed to Negifa, as opposed to Beita, as opposed to Derisa, right, in all those cases, the Tsura, the Maisa, is done in a very different manner, right? Regel, okay, there's Regel Begufo and Regel, you know, with the accoutrements on the goof. He's wearing a saddle, etc. But again, it has nothing to do with the size or the effectiveness, right? So why would the Gemara think that the difference between Nezek and Misa is an Avodah Toldah situation? That's strange. The only thing I can think, you know, comparable to it, not an Avodah Toldah, but you'll see in a moment, is the view of Reb Sajagon, in Sefer Mitzvah of Sajagon, and that is with respect to there being two avos. So let's talk about two avos. The Gemara seems to conclude that in Bor there are two avos, Avla Nezikin and Avla Nisa. So that alone is very unusual, right? I would say unique. Where else do we find in any of the avos Nezikin that there's a shared av? Right? No shared av of Shane or Regel or Aish. So why would it be that there are two boars? The question is, do we mean it literally? We do find the suggestion that there might be two avos in some Nezikin. Again, the only one that I'm aware of, and which is closest to this in any case, is in Sefer Mitzvah Psadjigo. Sefer Mitzvah Psadjigo counts in the Minyan HaMitzvos Ki Yigach and Ki Yigof. And Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlo at least understands that what is meant by this apparent double count is that Ki Yigach is Nezek and Ki Yigof is killing another animal. So that actually is very comparable. I don't remember, I have to look again. I'm wondering whether Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlo isn't perhaps actually influenced by this line of the Gemara about Bor. Which would be curious. But that aside, we do find the suggestion that there might be more than one Av But again, not differentiated by size, impact, or effect. For example, we'll see it inside very soon, the Rajba is going to suggest that a Keren Tam and a Keren Muad are like two different avos. It's not so obvious. That has to do with, you know, frequency, you know, and the consequence of Chiv Tashlumin. He also says some interesting thing. We'll see that inside in just a minute. We already had the discussion in the possibility when the Gemara thought that Keren Kusha was referred to in the Pasuk of Kiyigach. So the Riva had a suggestion that maybe there are two Ovos Nazikin for Keren. One is Tam, Keren Tam, and the other is Keren Muad Mitchila. It's a little bit different than what I just said a second, right? Not the difference between Tam and Muad per se, something that becomes a Muad, but a Keren Tam Mitchila and a Keren Muad Mitchila, right? Like what we thought would be the halacha of Keren Mechuberes. The Rajba, when he wanted to attack Tosis's understanding of Mechalia Karna, the issue that we talked about last week, at one point says, I don't understand. Tosis thinks that Mechalia Karna, Lo Mechalia Karna is Tinuf Peros. If you remember, the Gemara Nahabamina, that Shein is only Chayev when it's Mechalia Karna, when you completely obliterate the Be'er. So what's Lo Mechalia Karna? So Tosis says, you know, Tinuf Peros. The animal wallows on top of the end, it ruins the end, the pears. So the Rajba says, that's not a tolda, that's a tolda. So the Gemara thought that there are two psukim, and there are two dinim of Shein, there are two psukim, one is mechalia karna, the other is lo mechalia karna. So he says the Gemara was really saying that there are two avos, mechalia and lo mechalia. Okay. And similarly, when the Gemara thought that there are two psukim needed for regel, because there are two types of regel, right? One is shalach shluche, and the other is azam mimela, says the Rajba, those would have been two different avos. So the idea that there might be two different avos, especially for the Rajba, is on the table. It's something that, you know, is being thought of. But on the whole, I have to say, you know, those are all exotic makoros. I'm just bringing them to your attention because some of them we've seen, some of them I know. But there are a few others. All things being equal, the idea that there's more than one av when it comes to Nezikin, again, in Shabbos, it's an interesting question. Right? We have something called Me'ein Ha'av. We talked a little bit about it earlier in the year, right? Zoreya and Noteya. If there's a category called Me'ein Ha'av, which Rashi believes in, which the Rambam believes in, Bali Tosis don't seem to believe in it. Bali Tosis think that Me'ein Av is another way of saying a Tolda. But for the Rambam and for Rashi, there seem to be three categories. Av, Me'ein Av, and Tolda. And there might even be Nafkadi. But again, that's still a little bit different than what's being suggested here. So this is a very unusual circumstance. What do we mean by it, and do we take it literally? So one way to read the Gemara is to suggest that the Gemara doesn't really mean what it says. Okay, what do I mean by that? It sounds very cynical. Chalila, we don't want to be cynical. What I mean is, when the Gemara says, Ze'av le'mezikin, Ze'av le'misa, what they really mean to say is the following. There's only one bor. There's only one av of bor. However, it's not an av, the nezek and the misa part are adjusted according to the shiurim. We don't mean that there are two avos of boar, a killer boar and a mazik boar. There's only one boar, but some boars have the capacity to kill, and some boars have the capacity to be mazik. It's all, what the Gemara really means is it's two different applications of the same av. Let's say you have esh, okay, and under the rubric of esh, there might be an esh that's so, you know, intense, you know, that it can destroy stones, you know, and cement, and another ash that's less intense for whatever reasons. Okay, so I'm not going to call those two different avos. Okay, but there still might be consequences to the different levels of intensity. in terms of what gets destroyed. We'll get back to that when we get there. So one possibility is that when the Gemara says Za'av le'mizik and Za'av le'misa, they basically don't mean it. It's another way of saying that there's what they really mean to say, it's not an av and a tol. Right? It's two different applications of the av, which are very logical. They fall into place. I believe that that is the second interpretation. I'll read it inside just a second of Rashi. There are two days of Rashi here. But the first and more first glance, more obvious read of the Gemara is that the Gemara is really saying that maybe even in contrast to all other avos nezikin, that boar is singular, boar has two avos. Has a killer boar and a mazik boar. But if that's the case, we need to especially if it's the only example, either way, what I'm trying to suggest, say for instance, of Sadhu going aside, is that even if it's not the only example, it's the only example of its type. Right? Namely, where the distinction, in effect, defines it as a different up. And the question is, why would that be true? And I'm going to suggest, for the scene, why I think that is true. I believe that that's what Rashi has in mind. If it is true, I think there's also a very, very, again, I think the reason behind it is very, very important, and I think that the consequences are very important. The consequences seem to be that there are two boars. There's a chalos, there's a boar which is a killer boar, and a boar which is a mazik boar, and that these two boars have different identities. And I'll explain what I mean by that and how it is expressed going forward. But why that should be true, meaning why should there be two chalos boars, and that even expresses itself in two avos, okay, that we need to explain. Oh, so which Rashi is the Rashi?
Let me just explain, if the shore falls into a boar, a nine falcon, and dies, so the bow boar is quarter and dancing, they don't have to pay anything?
Or?
If the shore falls into a boar...
No, I heard. You're onto something. I'm just asking you, or.
That just doesn't make sense to me.
Or? So what would you have?
That it should be worse than... who's my mother? It should be worse than a normal hesed.
So that is, we'll see soon, I think that's a very, very fascinating argument. That is the machlokas between Rabbeinu Yonas and Hakohen Miluniel.
And who?
Hakohen Miluniel.
Yeah.
And one of his compatriots in the world of Provence, the Meiri. We have it on our sheets. You can go take a look if you want to, take a glimpse ahead. It is on page, I'm guessing, four. Four? Well, mine are all mixed up. I don't know how that happened exactly, but okay. If you look on page four, you'll see Shidduk Betz and Baba Kama Nunamid Beis. I'm guessing page four. Yeah, so you see there's a Meiri?
Yeah.
I'm going to get back to it in a minute, but Meiri says, Hayu pechusin me'asara u'meis pater. V'yesh omrim shin meis, mishalim mi'a b'chtei d'me'ad hezek. I believe that word should not be hamishubad, I think that's wrong. Hamishuar. Alright? Bebezdin. V'lo nira lichein, says the Meiri. And the first shita is Rabbeinu Yonason, the next shita, the next one. See her Rabbeinu Yonason? Yeah?
Yeah.
It says, V'rav Rabbeinu Yonason kasav zel, l'shono ha yipchusim me'asar tvachim, meis pater, klomar, shenishba raglo, let's say the animal broke its leg, umeis vimenu, and it died. Wow. Shouldn't have died. Right? Pater m'lishalim is kulo, avam l'shalim k'dei azeko, shehuzak bo, shenishba raglo, im lo yameis. How much would you pay if it didn't die? The legamri lamatzino lemiftere, which is what you just said, shaharei chafarbo kedei lahazik anofel. He dug enough that it should have a nezek effect. So if he doesn't pay the full amount for death, why shouldn't he the death benefit? Why doesn't he pay the nezek? Avol demei kulolo shorei lo hayavah hevel lemisa mazala gara bimhuzak vachayev shorei yesh bo kedei lishaver yado araglo. And then he adds, and this I think is more controversial, I'm going to get back to this all in a minute, but since you asked, afilo lo nishba lo lo yad velo regel, let's say there's no broken bones. So there's no discernible nezek. That's interesting. Ela shehu misnavne veholech, afilu hachi chayiv sure yesh bo kedei lahamis hevel and mezikin afal pi de'emo hevel and mitzla. Probably should be a mistake there. Afilu hachi chayiv sure yesh bo kedei probably lahazik hevel and mezikin afal pi she'emo hevel and mitzla, something like that. Okay, so I think that there are two. It's interesting in Rebbeinu Yonason there are two scenarios. Right, one is a lot more obvious, and the question is, does the Meiri argue in both? And does anyone make the distinction? Two are, the animal falls in, breaks his leg. Right? Our expectation would be that that's the end of it, and it costs $50. Okay? But Nebuch, the animal dies. Okay, so just because he dies, he shouldn't pay the $50? The other one is, the animal falls into the pit, it doesn't break anything discernible. Right? But the fall, you know, causes him to die. Now here I think there are also two scenarios, meaning, you know, he's kind of, you know, lingering there for a while, doesn't die like this. Right? He dies, he's misnavi, like, you know, he's like life is seeping out of poor Dolly, the lamb, or the cow, or Betsy the cow, right? So I think there are three scenarios, there are a number of scenarios there. Like, it's better if he dies right away? Like, there was no injury, all there was death? Or, if there's a broken leg, great. But if the broken leg leads to death, is it still a broken leg?
But death itself is an injury.
No, that's what Rabbi Yonason is saying. So what is the Meiri disagree? Does the Meiri disagree with both cases? And does does the Rabbeinu Yonason argue that in all cases you pay some nezek? That's an interesting question. So again, on the surface, you're right. You know, Rabbeinu Yonason is right. You know, at least in the first case, the fact that it died shouldn't in any way diminish, you know, b'chalal masai manu, right? So we'd have to understand the Meiri's view. I think it's part of the same puzzle, right? And we're going to get to it in just a second. First, let's look.
What is he paying for non-nezek?
What's that?
What does he pay? If the animal dies, there's no broken limbs, what does he pay?
Right. I'm saying it's much easier in the first case.
And if he dies, if it's less than 10...
So I mean what?
He died. I thought it was a glowing hill, so that there was another problem with the animal, so the owner's response is not to kill him at all. It's not to kill him at all, right?
Right. But probably, I guess, that's what he says, hamashuar, meaning, let's say the estimation is that there will be internal injuries. They shouldn't have died, but there should have been a certain amount of... Again, if it's like very easily, you know, discernible, like a broken leg, a broken arm, you know, whatever. But, you know, I think it's easier. If not, then, you know, the internal injuries, you know, did the animal in. And they would have, for sure, you know, if the animal had recovered, fetched some sort of, payday. So again, how you hamashuah, whatever it is, that we'll leave that for someone else. That's not a problem. But something.
You can do an autopsy on an animal, you can determine if it's a heart attack, right?
What's that?
You can do an autopsy on an animal.
You mean that you want to know whether there's a Nituchei Mason problem?
It's a heart attack from the fall.
Okay.
So the fall causes.
Yeah?
It's the hezid.
Right. So what about when the animal actually dies from in a nine tefach bor, you know, even though it shouldn't have. We'll get to that in a second too. Okay.
So he also said that, you know, we're talking about the Havamina by Gemara where you have the bor, Nisa is a Hav, and bor, Hesek is a
Tolda.
He said this, we've never seen that in the Neza, but we only see that in Abatuma, where it sort of you have a quantitative difference in the effect of Abatuma.
You do, but it's not usually a different. That's a good point. But there, it's a step removed more. But and the point is, it's a step removed from this same Abatuma. It's not that there are gradations in the actual Avatuma, some of which create a bigger Tuma and some which create a lesser Tuma.
You have gradations in the Hezek, Maisa Hezek.
No, does you have Mis, you have a body, right. Or you have a Sheretz. Right. Right? You don't have like a intense sheretz and a sheretz light. You know, one of which causes a rishon and the other which only causes a sheni. That would be comparable.
Those are the avos. I mean, the avos are the ones that cause the rishon, the rishon and the rishon.
No, no, but that's consult one step removed.
Those are the stronger. I'm saying those are the strong. The others are the stronger.
The only thing maybe you have is like Zav and Mishkava Zav.
All right, okay.
You know, because there are some differences still. So, and it is a step removed. So, but even then, it's not exactly the same because one of the Zav and the other is a Mishkava Zav. If you had two Zavs, you know, or two Mishkava Zavs, you know, or two Sheretzes, you know, it would be more comparable. Okay, anyways. Let's get moving because we don't want to spend so much time. I want to make sure we get through this. But these are very good questions. I'll tell you what I think the secret is in a minute, although we said it already. But let's just look at the 2 days in Rashi. There are 2 days in Rashi here. And it's not so clear what the difference is. But the likely difference is as follows. Look at Rashi. Ze av l'nezikin. De'im nofal shor bebor tes. Right, if a shor falls in a mazik bor, umes, and he dies, potter balabor. Balabor is potter. The muzakhaiv, the avhu, dahmid yuka dekra nafka mit siva mesi elo. The mashma, bor asara, right, de bar maktilhu, chayv and misa shor. A botsa mihachi bimisa lo chayv. It sounds like Rashi, number one, notice, Rashi doesn't feel he needs to explain, why it is that if an animal dies in a mazik boar, as opposed to a killer boar, why shouldn't you still be responsible for the death? Notice he doesn't say anything about that. You'll see in Lishna Basra that he does. Secondly, Rashi's trying to suggest that the Vamesi Alo implies, you know, that explicitly that's a reference to a bor misa, and implicitly it means that there's something else called a bor mazik. Meaning, Rashi here, two things, is taking literally that there are two avos in a bor, one which is explicit in the kra, the other, because of that, you know, explicit presence, you know, is implicit one notch lower, right? And somehow that solves the problem, you know, that bothers us, kind of, you know, namely, well, if the animal dies in a boar test, you know, what are you going to say, the balabor didn't do anything? Right? Okay. Lishna Basra, Lishna Akrina, so ze'av l'misa ve'ze'av l'nezikin. T'chi hechid nafak l'mikro bor asara l'misa, nafak l'n boar test l'nezokin. Now, here's what Rashi's not saying, there's a boar, so there's an explicit boar misa, and therefore there's an implicit bor nezikin. Here he's saying, there's no bor misa any more than there's no bor misa any more than there's a bor nezikin. In the same way there's a bor misa, right, that just as easily implies that there's a bor nezikin. The sivinach of shama oshar chamar. Masha bein meis, bein huzak. It's not explicit, implicit. The same pasuk is teaching you whatever the bor is responsible for. Ah. But if you're going to say that, which is another way of saying there aren't really two avos, right? So then why aren't, if there aren't two avos, why aren't you chayiv? Right? Balabar yishalim, umiyu imes hashor, omur abonim bebartisha potor, delo machmas abor mes, deimbo kedei lahamis, aval huzak chayiv, debartisha bar nezikinu. So you notice here, Rashi feels the need to address the question, which is, if the animal dies in a bor tes, you know, what are you going to, I mean, is it a coincidence? There's no cause and effect? The answer is, there may be, but there's not sufficient cause and effect. Because what we're saying is that this is so atypical, or atypical enough, that there has to be another factor. So what we're saying is the balabor is not exclusively responsible for the misa. He didn't cause the misa. There has to be some existing precondition for the animal. So, for example, if they did the autopsy and it turns out that the animal had a heart attack, so we're going to say, yeah, because, you know, Bessie had a very weak heart to begin with. Because, you know, a thriving, flourishing, you know, healthy animal wouldn't have died of a heart attack from a board test, right? So what seems to be is that there are 2 days in Rashi about this question. The first day in Rashi takes literally the Gemara, that is a bor yud and a bor tes. And the second day basically says, there's no bor yud, there's no bor tes, there's a bor. Sometimes we apply, when it makes sense, we apply its damage to Misa, because that's, that coordinates, there's a coordination of cause and effect. And there's no coordination of cause and effect when the damage, is greater, or when the Misa, is uncalled for given the nature or the size of the bar. Good? So basically there are two views. The second view of Rashi basically says that there's just kind of an elasticity, it's all cause and effect, and we just have to assess it properly. End of thing. Point. Okay. The first day of Rashi is the one that's intriguing. What does it mean that there are two bors? And why aren't you chayim in a case of misa in a bor? Okay. So I think, I'm going to tell you what I think the answer is right now for all these things. And that is, goes back to something we discussed earlier in the year. And that is that bor is singular. Bor is unique. And there are two ways to understand that. One way is in a very quantitative way, meaning bor has, when you look at bor vis-a-vis the other, niskeimamon, right, it seems to be different. Mostly it falls short of what the others, have. So for example, what do we know about bor? Ein darko, right, leilech ulaz. Already in the Mishnah, right? Lo area bor, whatever, because ein darko leilech ulaz. Right? The nezek is sheval tas. That's one of the things that we know about a bor. Now there are two ways to look at that. One is to say we're looking at bor the way we're looking at every other nezek, and the mechayev is a chayev of maisa hezek or lack of shmira, right? It's passive and not active. Okay, that's a chiddush. It should have been more kal, and the Torah is mechadesh that it isn't more kal. It isn't more kal, in terms of the need, to protect other people from it, even though it's only Meshev al Tasa, and it's not more kal, even if you want to think that there's Maisa Hezek, so it's a Maisa Hezek Meshev al Tasa, or delayed Maisa Hezek. When you dug the pit, it's like you were, it's like you were taking a knife to poor Bessie. Okay? That's one way to look at Bor. Okay? Ein dark olay l'chol hazik. Great. It's not just that. Ein dark olay l'chol hazik. The other person is a bit of a participant in his own. I mean, the animal's a participant in its own destruction, right? So, according to this perspective, we're saying we're overlooking that, right? Bor doesn't have bilus. Shnei dvarim enim b'shusa shel adam, v'asa nakasuv ki'ilu b'shusa bor b'shusa rabim, and chametz b'pesach. So again, there are two ways to look at that, right? Or three ways, actually. One is that this is a fundamental halacha that we're being told. Namely, bor doesn't need bilus because it's different than all others, just like ein darko leiluch lahazik might be a fundamental halacha. Or no, like we said before, it's a detail. It's a little more kal because there's no bilus in dini mamonos. But it's despite the... It has the same effect, or we treat it the same way, despite the lack of violence. Or another way, and that is that, like you said, we do call the guy the balabor, so maybe this is, there's no choshem mishpat bailus, but maybe he's a bailin by virtue of the fact that he's kone shamayim ba'aretz. He created the bor, or he's the one who's responsible for the bor. So when the Torah, when the Gemara says, shnei dvarim enim b'shusa shalom asana kasut kidu b'shuso, they didn't really mean that bor, is treated, despite having no bilus. What they meant is that we ki'ilu pretend that he's the bala bor. And there are nafkaminas in that. Even in the Gemara itself, I mean, when the Gemara here in Gimel Amud Beis, right, says, u'mamoncho shmirasan ala, t'chilas asiyos al-nezek, u'mamoncho shmirasan alecha, right? So it says umamoncha. What do you mean mamoncha? Right? So Tosas Alatar says right away, Lav dafka gabe bor, the lav mamonahu. The king gabe esh, the pshita dim hidle gedisha shochaveru be esh shalacher kai. This is a major debate between Rashi and Tosas later on daf chaf base, on the base. There's a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether Esha is Mishum Chitzav or Mishum Mamona. Whether fire is considered to be, you know, an extension of your own actions. You lit the fire, the wind carries the fire, notwithstanding the Koach Achar Me'urabo, it's like you did it yourself. It's like you threw the arrow. Okay? That's Rabbi Yochanan, Chitzav. But Reish Lakish says, no, Esha Mishum Mamona, it's not so different than Shor. So Rashi says, according to Reish Lakish, that Esha is Mishum Mamono, you have to own the Esh. That's Miyor Gachelas. And the Bali Tosas there say, not true. Even according to Reish Lakish, there's no requirement to buy this, and then there are some compromise shitas in the Rishonim that we're not going to get into, distinguishing between different types of cases, or Esh cases, etc. But the Tosas here, when he says, the chain gabe esh the pshita mhidle gedisha shalchaveru the esh shalacher the chayev, that's Tosas l'shitasam. You look at the Rabbi Kiveger here on the side. He says ayin l'kaman chav beis amud aleph, right? It should be chav beis amud. Oh, it is amud aleph, I guess. Yeah, Tosas dirumasal esh mishum mamon. Okay, good. That's a machlokas Rashi and Tosas. There's actually a very interesting shita, the Tosos Chachme Anglia, you know, Kishmo Kein Heim, in Psachim on Davav Medbeis, asks, why in Psachim? Shnei Dvarim Einim Breshusa Shel Adam, right? Vasana Kosev Kilo Breshusa. Bor Breshusa Rabin, Chametz Pesach. So Tosos Chachme Anglia, on that statement in the Gemara, says, and what about Eish? If you don't need the Bailus in Eish, like the Bali Tosas against Rashi, there should be Shlosha Dvarim Einim Breshusa Shel Adam. That's a very interesting question. It could be that in the end of the day, according to the Man Dorma Esha Mishum Mamono, you may not need Bailus, according to Bali Tosas, but that's not part of the Mahut, if you will. It's not part of the essence, the essential character of Esh, that you don't need Bailus. But in Bor, you know, maybe it isn't just, like I said, that this is the question. How do we deal with these anomalies of Bor? Do we say, yes, they're anomalous, and therefore there's Kiddushim here, maybe even a reason to be more Mekil, but in the end of the day, it works in the same way despite the Kulas? So then what we're really saying is, okay, you know, you're not the Baal HaBor, but we treat you like the Baal HaBor. Asona Kasev, not Shnei Dvarim Einam Rishus HaShel Adam, that's not what you emphasize. What you emphasize is Asana Kosov Kila Brishusa. Okay? So maybe that's a goof of the difference between Esh and Bor. That in Bor it really is part of the character of what it is. So again, if you look at the Rajba here, the Rajba mostly is very consistent that Bor is singular. Okay? So if you remember, in the early beginning of the year, we talked about Ein Onshin Min Adin, that's where we read that Rajba then. I recopied that here just to get a sense of it. Look here on page on page 1. Everybody have that? The bottom, Chidush Rajba above base on the base. The Kashin, Amash Meinim Shemin Adinah Ben Azikin. Right, this is Tosas' question on Beis Hamidah. The Mishnah says, Lo Rezeh, Lo Rezeh. They're constantly going back and forth to try to see if you can derive the Nezikin from each other. But the Mechilta says that when it comes to Bor, Ein Onshin Min Adin. Because the Torah says, Ki Yichre, the Torah says, Ki Yiftach. So the question the Mechilta asked was, if you're Chayav for Ki Yiftach, you're certainly Chayav for Ki Yichre. Kiyiftach means there's a bor that was dug, somebody covered it over, and you uncovered it. If you're chayiv for that, you're certainly chayiv when you create the bor. So the Mechilta, don't ask me questions, Ein Onshin Min Adin. Right? Ask the Bali Tosis, the whole Mishnah, the whole Shaklavatari, the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Kama and later in Bava Kama, you know, from Dala, from base to Dlav, and then again in Daf Yud, and a few other places, all assumes that you can, you know, you can try to figure out these things one from the other. The Tosis gives the answer, they give the Marikats, give the answer, the Marikats gives. We talked about it earlier. The Rajba's answer, which I, put on paper here, is Mistabrali Delomru Kain Elabinis Kebor, Vipneshu Chiddish, Veleka Bekula Nazika, the Kavasei, Shein Darko Lelechal Hazik, Veod Shein Shalom, Vafilo Hachia Saw Kosov Kilu Shalom, Veod Shanizak Polishus Hashomazik. This is a very important Rajma. Rajma says it identifies three chidushim of bor: passive, lack of ownership, right? And the other person contributes to his own downfall, or the animal, whatever. Again, it's hard to know. In the end of the day, is the Rajma saying, you know, there are these chidushim, but then it. But it's still the same as everything else. And the Chiddush is just that, you know, we're not Mekel and Matir. Or is he saying, you know, there's a pattern here, and it works in a very different manner. We'll see soon that the Rajba L'Shitaso seems to think it works in a different manner. So look at the Rajba's comment on Mamono also. Here, look at, the one on top. Shadarko lahazik gumamon chashmosan alecha. I say I made a mistake. One of them I did copy twice. I don't know why. Yeah. But, Shadarko lahazik gumamon chashmosan, the one on top. Ubor nami, af al gab, de eno mamono, korile mamoncha. Right? First he goes with that idea. You know? Namely, we're glossing over the difference. We're gab, bridging the gap. Right, he first starts off with Rashi, who emphasizes the Seifa, the Ke'ilu part. But the Rajba doesn't like it. He says, V'einu mechubar, du'mikamakom ein likroso mamon. Like, it's a subtle difference. They're not arguing here in any practical way. But they are arguing about whether to change the Girsa and the Gemara and whether to emphasize the Resha or the Seifa. And conceptually, that matters a lot. The same Rajba who said, you know, you need Ki'ilu Asan because it really isn't Mamono, it's one of the Chidushim, right, is here telling you that the Resha is more important than the Seifa. V'od v'adai nirad lo gasinuma minak shinu b'gemara le d'rav ma'avitza adam, so on, you can skip a little. Go to the second last line. Ubi gemar diktoni ma'ishna bordem moncha shmasan alecha mistaveli dahasam l'rabusa kamar achilomar afilu imtim salomar kivinu kivinu achmanu brishuska reu kama moncha haninami mamoncha. We don't believe in it. It's a misleading gemara, basically. The gemara is trying to say a culture came. Even if you were to think that the difference when it comes to mamoncha is more trivial, right, even then. But what does the Rajba really think? Not trivial. The lack of bilis is very important. Okay? Unlike maybe Eish. Okay? So later on, as I said before, the Gemara says in Daf Hamid Beis, right, that regarding the ability to learn, why do we need all these parshios, benifrad, all these psukim, why can't we learn some of the Zikin from each other? Says Tosas, Lehil Chaseim, fine. But before they get to Lehil Chaseim, they say, you know, you think that they, you know, that it's all just doesn't work? Because logically, you know, it's ineffective. You look here on Hamad Beis. So the Gemara says, no, we have a way to do it. Amar Rava, the Kuliki Shadis Bar, Benayu, Asya Kula Bameatzad. Maybe Labar Mikaren, Dikla Mifrach, Malakulish Kemuad Mitzkilas. And if you hold not like that Mandamar, even then. Meaning, what's the point? the most unusual of the avos and zikin is bor. Right? Anytime you take the outlying case and you can integrate it into the mix, you know, you end up neutralizing a lot of the other pirchas because you're expanding, you know, this common denominator, whatever it's going to be, you know, it's got to be pretty common because bor is part of the mix. And bor is an outlier. I'm just trying to highlight that bor, nothing is as unusual on the surface as bor. Right? And that's why you have all these discussions. So again, you have basically two broadly speaking perspectives. One is to say, all the outlying elements of bor are a reason that it's more kal. But like just like the Gemara says, Kishonis mi benayu. In the end of the day, whatever we're going to say about all, if we're going to say, it's not a Shabbat Shabbat, right? Shadark and Azik was from Asan Alecha, right? So what we're saying is gloss over the difference. And that's an approach. But there's another approach. And that is to say, vive la difference. No gloss over the differences. The differences are characteristic. And bor works in a different way. So how? What is that way? So the answer is very simple. Meaning, what seem to be its weaknesses are in fact its strengths. Or its character. Ein dark alahazik. And it's not mamoncha. Okay? But what is it? Ah. As the Gemara says here in Gimel and Beis, and repeats again in the above and other places, Tchilas Asiyaso Ledesek. That it is. A shore is a shore. Even a goring shore. I mean, until he gores, you know, he's an animal, he's a creature. Right? But a boar is Tchilas Asiyaso Ledesek. Is a disaster waiting to happen. Right? It's a takala. It's a mikshel. Right, that is the weakness, seeming weakness of bor, is its strength, and that's captured by Tfilas Asiyas. So what you're chayav for in bor is not maybe not the lack of shmira, or maybe also the lack of shmira, but lack of shmira is contingent upon this other factor. Maybe not even lack of shmira, although if you're shomer, you're going to be potter because you're going to be onus. What you're chayav for in bor is creating a masa. If you remember, at the beginning of the year, we also read the Rashi later on, in the fifth parak. Rashi talks about bor as being, or creating a bor, Rishus Arabin, as being kilkul Rishus Arabin. So it's a fascinating thing. That's the expression that Rashi uses in the context of Ein Shliach and Bar Avera.
Where is that?
What is it? The one on Nun Gimel, I think. So the Rashi used that expression. The Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchos Rotzeach, when he discusses the problem of Ein Shliach LeDvar Aveira, does that apply to Averos Drabon? So he discusses it in context of that Rashi. He says, Rashi, when he talks about building a bor, right, Rishus Arabim is an Aveira, calls it Kilkul Rishus Arabim. He says, so that's a question. That seems to depend on this question. Do you say Ein Shliach LeDvar Aveira even about Drabanans? Or only about Doraisas? So that's a discussion. The Nodeb Yehuda.
Who's a Shliach?
Okay.
Who's a Shliach?
Well, it goes back to the case on earlier, which we're going to get to in just a second, and that's the Gemara, the Mishnah Nun Aleph, right? Bor Shel Shnei Shutfin. That's Nuna, not the Rashi's later, but. Right? Yeah, if we'll look at it for a second, because we have to get to it anyway. Bor Shel Shnei Shutfin. Right? Avar Olav Arishon Velo Kiso. Everybody have it? Yeah. You have Bor that belongs to two partners. Avar Olav Arishon Velo Kiso. The first guy leaves it open, but there's a second guy lingering. He's there when he leaves. When the first guy leaves, the second guy is still there. Vasheni. Right, velo kiso, asheni chayiv. So the second one is fully chayiv because it was his full responsibility when the first guy left. Fine. Says the Gemara, Amri, bor shel shnei shutfin, hekam shkach. What do you mean, bor shel shnei shutfin? Just what's a case? Right? If you hold it can be a boar that you're chayiv for, that you own, so then you can have a boar shal shnei shutim, because there can be a joint ownership of the boar. Right? The chatzah shal shneim, the boar shal shneim, if girushusim v'lehif kabora. Okay, so they own property, and the property is a boar. Right? They're mafka, their property. They weren't mafka, the boar, so they retain ownership on the boar. Because it has to be something when people are walking around Rishus HaRabim, right? So the people are walking Rishus HaRabim and they fall into the boar, Shashayach Shashayach L'Shnei Ashef. Ela Yisvir L'n Bar B'Shuso Potor, but if, it's a little bit like, you know, the Rav Shmuel case, right? Do we? If you hold that boar, by definition, means no ownership, Hechem Ishkachasa, right? The Chayv Alev Rishus HaRabim, right? U'Rishus HaRabim, right, the only time you could ever have is in Rishus HaRabim, and you can't have Shutfin. So either Shavu Shliach, right, Travayu. So what about the following case? You have two people, and they appoint a Shliach to dig a bor Rishus HaRabim. Okay? But Amrulei, and they say to him, that one guy, the two, say to one, Zil, Kri, Lun, right? They said, you know, go dig the pit for both of us. So the Shlichos is Ba'ad Shneim, so they're both Balabor, they're Shutfim in the bar, even though they don't own it. Says the Gemara, Ain't Shliach Devar Aveira, right? Well, then the Gemara says, either Kara Hai Chamisha.
Why can't the two people dig the bar together?
Oh, that's the Gemara's answer. Right? Yeah. So the Gemara says, either kara hai chamisha, v'hai chamisha, if each one digs five, tvachim, right? Nistalka lamai sarisha. We're going to get to this in a second. So might as well read this Gemara, get it on the record, and then we don't have to read it again later. Even though we like to, but also need to. Nistalka mai sarisha, meaning that the one who built the last part, you know, wipes out the first one. Well, that's an interesting issue. We'll talk about that. So the Gemara says, Heni chal rebi, so the Gemara says, we'll get that later. I'll just get this. Exactly what you just said. The cases where they you know, they dug bevasachas to be mashlim to asara. Okay, then the Gemara says, what's Rebbe, what's Rabbana? That we're going to get back to. Fine. So in the context of discussing, not here, but in the other place, what is the Aveira? So Rashi says, Kilkul B'Shus HaRabim. So the Mishnah Melech says, Kilkul B'Shus HaRabim. Where does it say that in the Torah? That's a Didrabanan. Right? And the question is, wow, so this could, according to Rashi, it would seem that there's a Didrabanan Shteich HaDvar Aveira, even on Drabanans. A very interesting question. So the Nodeb Yehuda says, who told you that that Kilkul B'Shus HaRabim, Rashi doesn't say it's Drabanan. Maybe it's an Issa Daraisa. Interesting. I'll go one further. I always thought, who says that Kilkul B'Shus HaRabim is some other din, and then they're arguing whether Kilkul B'Shus HaRabim is Daraisa or Drabanan. That might be exactly what Bor is. Again, the problem is everybody's always focusing, like on the Tzad HaShava, on seeing Bor as a Shev Al Tasa Mazik. And the Maisa Hezek. What's that? Oh, he does? Oh, okay. Where, in the piece on Bor? Oh, I've probably seen it. But, right, so, but if you say that especially the Mechayev itself is, he says that part of it, is Yitziras HaMazik, right? Or Kilkul, that I mean, it's creating, it's not Kilkul Rishus HaRabim, it's creating a Milchshol Rishus HaRabim. Right? Oh. If you take this perspective, that's what Tchilas Asiyas HaLenezek means, presumably. Right? Like, what do we care? At Tchilas Asiyasa, nothing happened. Didn't happen until a year later. 10 minutes later, 5 years later. Right? Tchilas Asiyasa. So some people think Tchilas Asiyasa Nezek means, oh, the Maisa Nezek, you know, is the building of a pit, you know, which causes the person to fall, albeit with a huge time gap, it's a regular nezek, but it's a nezek b'shev al tasa with a time lag. You know, the kula is what I said before. Part of saying now is no. We don't care about the bailus because the bailus is beside the point. We don't care about the maisa per se. We care about the maisa because it's yitzira samazik. Now again, if no one ever falls into the pit, then you're not going to charge somebody because of yitzira samazik. But let's say they do fall in the pit. So you're charging them for yitzira samazik, right? Not for the chetza shel nezek, right? So because of that, this is the key point. The entire focus on nezek and bor is formalistic and predictive. When you create the mazik, what is it that you are imperiling? Right? And to what extent? So now let's take a look at the two things that we've so far been discussing. Right? One of which is, why would there be two avos, right, in bor more than any other area? That doesn't seem to defy all the other avos tzikin. None of them have two avos, if we take literally the first day of Rashi. Moreover, why are you potter? The second day of Rashi says, there's really only, when we say there are two avos, an av and zik and av, what do you mean? There's an av, which, you know, which has two hechatimtzis, two applications, that's all we mean. Right? And what happens if you fall into a borshel test and you die? That's why Rashi explains it there. The answer is, he had a weak heart. You know, his owner didn't feed him proper nutrition. Or the Rabbanu Shel Olam, you know, his hashkacha fell on this poor little cow, that he would, you know, that he would be have a weaker constitution. You know, why should I pay for that? Right? Although, probably paying for his broken leg would be reasonable, certainly under those conditions, right? Yeah. However, now we have another perspective, and that is, when you creating a killer bor and creating a mazik bor are two different creations. They're two different chalos takalos. They don't have to be, but they could be. Not because the yitziras takala is what's koveya. The Torah is telling us there are two types of takalos. There's a murderous takala, a killer takala, and a damaging takala. Right? Moreover, now we know why there are two and how there could be two here. But then it's all predictive, meaning what is the namazic bor a takala for? Yes. Not misa. So let's say the animal falls in and it dies. Let's say we don't have this, you know, weak heart, not enough nutrition, blame it on the Rabbanu Shel Olam, forget all that. No, it died because we did the autopsy, we don't even need the autopsy. Right, in the end of the day, let's say there's a percentage of animals, you know, 20%. You know, maybe 40, maybe 50% of animals. See, in a moment, it's much bigger than that. It's much more b'chadash than that. Let's say 50% of animals that fall into a bor test are going to die. But it's also so precise, I mean, but, you know, 1 centimeter less than 10, tfachim, you know, that's okay. Right? So we know for sure it died, because it's within the range. But it's not 50%, or it's not 80%, whatever the threshold you needed. That what you need to be mechayev you for misa in a bor is to have dug something which alpidin is a killer bor. And that's a predictive thing, that has a certain threshold at the outset. Now what is it based on? Is it based on any possibility? Is it based on a reasonable possibility? Is it based on 50%? Is it based on 100%? Those are open questions. But it's a totally different discussion. So if you really want to prove this idea, you can really prove it from the Rajba later on, and then you can go back to this Rajba. And then we'll see some other issues too. Okay. For example, this is a very important Gemara. So let's look at the Gemara later on. And I have it also here on the sheets, but it's always good to look at the Gemara. And afnun, Just 1 second. Yeah, and up Nun Amud Beis. Okay. Yeah, do we have a card? Okay. I'm going to read some Gemara here. It's a lot of Gemara, but it's very important. You have to understand. Okay. So this is Nun Amud Beis. So let's just look at the Mishnah very quickly, and you'll see this remarkable case. Hachofer bor b'shus harabim. You have the Mishnah there. This is kind of what our sugya was quoting. Hachofer bor b'shus harabim. Like you dig a pit in b'shus harabim. The nafalatoko shor hamar. And the animal falls in, right? Chayev. Echad hachofer bor shiach ma'arach ritzin neitzin chay. Okay, it doesn't matter what the structure of the hole is. That's also very intriguing, as we'll see in the Gemara. Imkei lama namar bor, right? Ma bor sheish bo kedei lahamis asar tvachim. Of course, sheish bo kedei lahamis asar tvachim. It has to be a killer bor. It has to have the capacity, whatever that means. Now we've already suggested two possibilities within the Rashi's, which appear in the Rishonim. Meaning it's a formal din, right? That even if we're to acknowledge that the animal died because it fell, that's not enough. It has to be fall in a pit, which itself is defined as one which imperils with respect to Misa, right? Or it's just really trying to reconstruct why this poor animal died. Okay. This is the Mishnah. Then the Gemara has the famous, this is a, we're not going to get into this right now, but some of it is a little bit hard to understand. The Gemara has a famous debate between Rav and Shmuel. Amar Rav, Bor Shachayv Alav Torah, Lahavol Avlo Lachavot. The view of Rav was that what is dangerous about a boar, right, is the environment of the boar. I don't know, the claustrophobia, the whatever it is, not the actual impact. Why? Well, I shouldn't say that. The impact is certainly dangerous, but the impact is karka olam. Karka olam is ikaso, so you're not chai for that. Alma kasavar chavata karka olam hu, the mazkale. Shmuel says the havala of a koshken chavata. Right? Both havala and chavata, meaning the environment in the bor, is stifles your breathing or whatever it is and is responsible, but also the chavata. Right, vim tomi lechavato asotor v'lo lavolo, ator hid al bor, afilu mali svugim shel tzemer. Now, even if there's a soft landing, a literal soft landing, right, it doesn't matter. I guess the claustrophobia, the asphyxiation, whatever it is in the bor, the fear, whatever it is in the bor, it's fascinating. That's what kills you, or that's what damages you. My benayu, ik benayu, the avad gova brishus harabim. Let's say there's no bor. Let's say somebody builds some sort of an incline in Rosh Hashanah, and you fall off that, right? The Avagova Rosh Hashanah, L'Rav, Agova L'Machayev, because he thinks it's Chavata the Karka, even though that killed you, but or damaged you, but it's Karka Olam, not your problem. It's fascinating, a very strange Shita. The Shmuel, on the other hand, Agova Nami Machayev. My Tam the Rav, Amakrav and Nafal, Ad Shigipol Derech Nefila, it's the experience of falling, right? I guess in the panic or the anxiety, whatever it is. The Shmuel, right? Benof Al Koldu, any kind of Nefila. Okay. Now, Imkein Lama Nemer Bor, Ma Bor Yeshbo Kedei Lahamis Asar Tvachim, Avkol Yeshbo Kedei Lahamis Asar Tvachim, that's in the Mishnah. Bisham of the Shmuel, Avkol Lasuye Gova. Whether you fall from down or you fall from up to the ground, El Rav Af Kol Lasuye Mai Lasuye Charitzin Neitzin Charitzin Uneitzin Behedik Tani Lo in the Mishnah Tani V'Hadar Mefarish. Okay, Hani Kula Diktani Lamali Tricha. Then the Gemara goes on to explain why each of these structures, you might have said one is more has more room, one is more dimensions, one is has shade. The shade is a negative, meaning it, it increases the sense of claustrophobia, probably. Again, it's just fascinating. Okay, let's skip a little bit. Okay, So then the Gemara wants to know the following. Listen to this. Yeah. Go skip till the two dots. Everybody have the two dots? Everybody with me? Got the two dots? It's also on the sheets, for anybody who doesn't have. That we know, right? You need a 10 tvachim bor. Nothal tocho shor or chamor umeis potter, my taima. Lam mishum delays, so the Gemara says, Lam mishum delays le chavata. Because there's no chavata less than 10, no impact. Says the Gemara, lo, mishum delays le avala. Maybe the environment, the claustrophobia is what's lacking if you don't have the 10 for the misa. Second. Says the Gemara, if it isn't that Havala requires 10, right, so why are you chayiv b'shem nezek? Not chavata de karka, so it's got to be the Havala. So the Gemara says, no, amrein Havala lamisa v'yesh Havala nezakin. There are different levels of claustrophobia, right? There's a nezek claustrophobia, and there's fear life claustrophobia. Okay. Here comes the punchline. The Gemara says, "Ahu Torah denafal la'arisa de'dalai." There was this shore that fell into an arisa de'dalai. What's an arisa de'dalai? So Rashi says it's like a little ama, a little channel with water in it. Arisa zior de'dalai mashke sados. This is the key point. It's one ama deep. An ama is six tvachim. Okay? Ulefikachi nikrais ama samayim, da muka ama rechava ama. Okay, it's an ama by an ama. Right? And it's not 10 tvachim, it's 6 tvachim. Okay? So the Gemara tells a story. Shachate maru. The animal fell into the ama. And the owner, just whips out his shechita knife. You can almost, like visualize this, right? He whips out his shechita knife, which he carries with him, in all occasions. And he shechts the animal. Because he's worried that the animal's going to become a trefa. So he figures he'll shecht it right away. So, but of course, as fast as he whipped out his shechita knife, that's how fast Rav Nachman was there on the scene. So Tarfe Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that it was trade. However, Rav Nachman, being empathetic, and genuine Talmid Chacham, turned to him and he said to him, "Listen, I'm Rav Nachman." He gave the guy some advice. He said, "Ish shakil mare da haytura kaba de kimcha." Right, the ozel tani bay midrasha im shasa me ace la ace ksheira. And then lo afsa de latura de shava kamakabi. He said to him, "Don't be so quick. Don't panic." He said, "Take a couple of quarters, and go buy yourself something to tide you over to eat. A kaba de kimcha. Right? Come to the base medrash and learn a little bit. Right? And in 24 hours, leave the animal for 24 hours. And that's before he shechted it, is what he told him, if you had done. What you should have done was, not be so hasty. Leave the animal for 24 hours. If the animal, gets up and starts walking around, right, then Gloy Milsa that it's not a trefa. And then you would have saved yourself a lot of money because you might have spent, a couple of quarters on last night's supper, but you're going to save yourself, tens of dollars on the value of the animal. So, in other words, don't be so quick, come to the Beis Medrash and learn a little bit. Number one, you'd know the halacha, and you would have saved yourself a lot of money, perhaps. Ah. So the Gemara says, Alma, Kasav Rav Nachman, Yesh Chavata V'Pachas Me'asara. Apparently, Rav Nachman, who pronounce this as trefa, even though he did tell the guy that I might reassess within 24 hours, if the animal moves around in 24 hours, right? But that aside, when the guy did a rapid shechita, right, he trafed up the animal, he said the animal is trafed. It's only trefa if it's omi lemisa, right? So obviously he thinks that chavata, less than 10 tvachim, is also
a killer.
Eisvei Rav Rav Nachman, hayipchusim asar tvachim, enafel toko shor chamar, umeis potur. Right? But we know that that's not true. To be chayiv nezek, in other words, the Gemara is citing Yoredeya, I mean Chulin, Trefa, and they're equating it for the moment with Tashlumei Nezek Shomisa in Baba Kama, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So the Gemara says it's not true. My Tama Lab Mishum Deleis Be Chavata. So what do we hold Chavata? We don't hold Chavata. What is it? So the Gemara says no Mishum Deleis Be Chavala. Says the Gemara Ihachi. Who's that book? That helps, because Havala is irrelevant, maybe, to... Okay. Who's that bo chayiv? Haleis ba Havala? Amaleis, same answer as before. Ein Havala l'misa, v'yesh Havala l'nizakim. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Eiste, beis haskila, hoya gvor shtei komos, v'tani alava komos shalo, harekan gimel. Right, how high was the beis haskila when they used to push people off the beis haskila that they would fall to their death? And if the ability of, you know, the impact, even less than 10 tefachim, has killing potential, even less than yud, right? Why? Lamali kulahai. The Gemara says, no, that's not such a big deal. So the higher, if it's a little higher, so the death is more quick and painless. Says the Gemara, Yehaki Nagba Tzvei, then you should make it even higher than that. The Gemara says there's a balance between a quick, painless death and nevel of the body, Mishum de Menavel. Okay, fine. Then the Gemara wants to know about Makeh, same. All this Gemara is trying to figure out, you know, what happens, is it really true that unless you fall from 10 Tvachim, that no one's, the impact does have the ability to kill or not? That's the Gemara. Eitzvei, Ki Yipal Anofim Menu, Men of Lobatok. Right, this is about a makeh, the obligation to put a makeh on your roof to prevent a terrible accident. So the Gemara says, Kate said, Hoy Sorb Shisarab and Gaboa Mimen of Asar Tvachim, Benofa Mitocha Lotocho Potter. A makeh is if you have a roof, and you might fall to the ground. But if you have a pit below, and you're on ground level, there's no din of makeh. That's what the Gemara is trying to suggest. So the Gemara says, but amuka mimenu asar tvachim enafa mitocho letocha chai viso gadai tukei shkabata bepakas miyud lamali asara amale shiny bias the kol pakas measar la besu. The din of a makeh isn't about falling and killing yourself, it's about whether there's a shame bias, and that's tapak. Okay, good. We can skip a little bit, just you'll see in a moment. Okay. Then the Gemara says, no. The whole thing, Ela Hainu Taima, you see in the wide lines, Rabbi Nachman. Everybody read it with me? Savar, Mikresa de Tura La'ara, Kamahav. Arba. Gemara says like this. No. We got the whole thing wrong. What really happened here is the following. How much is the area, the length, you know, from the ground to the animal's stomach? And it says four tefachim. Okay. Aresa de Dalai, Kama, Shisa. So if the animal is standing, okay, so the stomach of the animal, the vulnerable part of the animal, is four tefachim off the ground. You know, then he walks into the pit, that's six tefachim. So the animal fell, 10 tefachim. Good? Reasonable so far? The impact is 10 tefachim. So shtakach dechi kamachabit me'asara hu dekamachabit. Oh. So the Gemara says, elamas nisa dektoni ma'abor shu kedei lohamis yud tefachim av kol sheyesh bo yud kedei lohamis yud tefachim v'shisanami sagi. So why does the Mishnah say that a boar right? To be chayv misa is 10 tvachim. It should say 6 tvachim. Now we're getting to the important part. So the Gemara Omri, masnisin the igander labor. The Gemara says, the case of the Mishnah is a case where the animal isn't walking and falls into the bor. The animal is lying at the edge of the bor and rolls into the bor. Okay? Good. So most Rishonim interpret the Gemara as saying as follows. You have this Mishnah, which seems to have a hard and fast... Just give me another couple of minutes, we'll finish up. For this one, we'll finish the rest of what we want to do for bor next time. The Mishnah seems to say that a bor, in order to qualify as a bor ha katala, right, for you to be chayv misa, has to be a bor of 10. Right, but now you have this unbelievably curious case of the Gemara about the treifa, right? Because of that case, we've come to the conclusion that what? That a combination of the height of the animal and the depth of the bor equaling 10 is also fine because the impact is 10. Hi, what about the Mishnah? The answer is the simple reading of the Gemara. The Mishnah is talking about a hechetinsi, a vigandri. The Mishnah means that, you know, in the worst of circumstances where you don't have any other help, you know, to add the impact, you need 10. You need a bor of 10. But you don't need a bor of 10, right? In a typical case where an animal walks into a bor, you need the impact of 10. Good. That's how many Rishonim read the Gemara, and that's how they pass in the Halacha, both in Yoredeya when it comes to Treifas, and in Choshen Mishpat, you know, when it comes to the question of Tashlumin. That's a simple shot.
Every animal has a certain amount of... Even if it's on his...
Well, okay, I mean...
It's one tefach, you know,
Okay. The Rambam, if you look at the Rambam here, I mean, you would expect that this would be nifsak lahalach. I mean, both cases of bor. Well, what's the exception to the rule? The Mishnah or the Gemara? Right? It's a strange phenomenon. Right? The exception is the Mishnah. How many times does an animal fall into a bor? You know, when it's in a state of vigandra. Most of it walks into the bor. So wouldn't you expect this to be codified in the Rambam? I would. But if you look at the Rambam in Perek, this is page 5, no, page 4. Okay, we'll continue with this next, but I'll just tell you the punchline for now. Halacha Yud. Echad HaKofer Bar, Oshiach HaMa'ara, is that on page 4? Is it? Or it's on page 5 then, probably. Yeah, Halacha Yud. This came out in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Yud. Echad HaKofer Bar, Oshiach HaMa'ara, Charitz. Lama namar bar shiabo kedei lahamis. Kama kedei lahamis. Omek asara tvachek. Avalim bai pachus be asara. Lesson 10. Benafal atoko shar dehema. Chayiv of umes potor. Vimusku chayiv balatakala nezak shalim. Anything there about a difference between a gandari and anything else? No. As it happens in Nuchos Treifas, the Rama reads it out, leaves it out too. But in Shulchan Aruch, what they do is in Hilchos Treifos, just look here for 1 second, on page 5 for sure. I think I copied Shulchan Aruch, didn't I? Here we go. 1 second. 12. You have it there? Yeah. I did. Nefula Asura, Ketzad. Dehem Shanafla, M'haysal Medes HaRagleha, Kishanafla. If the animal's on its feet when it fell... Right, im yesh mikreisad amakom shenafla sar tefachim choshen shemen israsko evoreha v'maisa shochemes v'nizgal gelo v'nafla sar she gova amakom asar tefachim. Right, then the Shulchan Aruch goes on to discuss: is there a difference between falling or pushing, falling in stages, falling at once? There might be, right? Medically, okay. So basically, this in Yoredeya they paskin the difference between. In Treifas, between Megandari, Igandari rather, and Nafal Kishomed, Al-Raglov. However, as the Taz points out, and the Beis Yosef, in Choshen Mishpat, they don't. They only mention the Bar Asara. like a Rambam. So what's going on? So the Rashba and the Rush, and well, this will conclude for today, and this seems to be Shitas Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, very remarkably, do not read the Gemara the way that I just read it, which is certainly, all things being equal, just as a read, you know, the simple way to read it. Look at the Rashba. We'll get to the other Rashbas later, but the one Nun Aleph Omud Aleph Dibramasa Masdisan Di Gandhar Agamduri, and we'll finish with this. Mistabrali, everybody have it? This is on page 3 in mine? 3? Yeah? Dibramastel Nun Aleph Omud Aleph. Mistabrali Dalav Lememra Dimasnisa Datani Asara Vahayu Pusan Miasara Dafka Din Gandhar Agamduri. Says, I my opinion, says the Rashba, don't read the Gemara, I'll add the words, kipshuto, which is that we should read the Mishnah now, that the only time you need a bor asara is in a case of igandari, but if an animal falls, you know, when it's standing, that the combination of the depth of the pit and the height of the stomach, or whatever it is, from the floor, you know, combines to 10. Hanafal kedarkeha, filu b'shisa sogya liba d'shmo, therefore 6 tefachim should be enough, typically. Dimkei, litvog b'lisni b'dida. It's chaser in the Mishnah. From a parshanut point of view, Rambam was saying, I know that's the simple pshat of the Gemara, but it's hard to believe that the Mishnah is talking about 5% of the cases, or less, without any kind of hint. B'medvar mamur, it should have said, B'medvar mamur b'mizgalgel, that's an interesting question. It says, and if it happened, right, and it was in Gander and it was only 6 tochim, it should be chayiv too. Why? The havli tchilasa v'pshia lemahalach kedarka v'sofa bionis be Gander v'lechayiv. We have a rule tchilasa v'pshia v'sofa bionis. So it's this boar is a danger for walking animals. They'll say tchilasa b'shiv. So that's not this strong. It's an interesting question. Ode hari bor bor ksiv echad lemisa echad lemizakin v'amina ma bor yeshbo kadeh mahamis asara alma bor shal nezikin eino shal misa. What does that mean? There are 2 bors, 2 avos nezikin. Rashba, we'll see next week, takes very seriously in our Gemara when the Gemara says 2 avos. He says, yeah, 2 avos, 2 avos and bor. It's all the shitasa. B'misa shal nezakin v'shal misa hakal echad. If it's true that all we care about is the impact of 10, it's not, there aren't 2 bores. Within bore, there's a rule that you need the impact of 10 for Misa, because otherwise it's not nigra ma'idei anafila. Right? But you can have a bore of 6, if that's really the halacha. Ukshanafel kadarko. The rov shvarim, kher shotu v'kata noflim kadarko, derech hilucham v'lo derech gindur, ero nirli hachapei rusho. Demasnisen de la tashlumim, the ika migander, the embo kedei lahamis bepachas measara, lefika shaninu asara lo marshal ochiba torah elavabor sheyesh bo leolam kedei lahamis beafilu bemigander. What does that mean? Just very succinctly, the next piece, very same thing. The Rush also says this: the gander pirish lo chiba torah korabor, even better in a way. The digger of the pit is not chayiv unless elam kain ra'ui hashor hanofaba lamus be'eza inyan sheyipol ach bi'gandar. The boar katala is defined by its capacity to kill under all conditions. We don't care to reconstruct what took place and the fact that it died because of the impact of falling tentvachim. What we care about is whether this boar is a chefza shalbor katala. And that is determined by the fact that in all conditions, whether it's walking or rolling, it'll always have that threshold to be mainus no matter what. Why? The answer is, if we're trying to figure out the nezek, that doesn't make any sense. Right? But if it's about a killer boar and a damaging boar, and it's about tchilas asiyaso, Lenezek, the mechayiv is yitziras atakala. So the definition of a killing boar is a boar that, in all circumstances, has the capacity to kill. That's probably Shittas Rambam as well. Hi, what about Yoredeya and the Gemara? The Gemara says like this. Originally, the Gemara thought to equate Trefa and Tashlume Nezek and Bava Kama. Because they thought originally that the issue is what to reconstruct, what level of impact can kill. Right? So the Gemara says, originally the Gemara thought, well, I mean, obviously, a boar of six has that capacity, because you see from the Trefa case, V'huadim ben Azikin. So then the Gemara said, no. It's because the animal's standing up. So there's 10. That's why it's Trefa. Right, what about the Mishnah? So instead, most Rishonim interpret the Mishnah. What about the Mishnah? The Mishnah's talking about a case of Igandar. If it would have been talking about a case of standing up, then just like the Trefa case, you'd be Chayav for Tashlumei Misa. But the way the Rosh and Rambam and probably the Choshen Mishpat read it is no. When it comes to Trefa, we want to figure out whether the animal is Omed L'Chayim or Omed L'Misa. Right? It's all things. The Chazakah is if the impact was 10, it's going to die. But in Bor, it doesn't depend on the reconstruction. It depends on the Alpidin, whether it's a Bor Shel Misa or not. The Din Bor Shel Misa is defined by a Gandari in all cases. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll elaborate and finish this.